This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You know, the way news is flowing in on a regular basis, it looks like I'm going to be here putting out episodes every day. But I love what I do, so it's all good. Shout out to all my new supporters. Appreciate y'all checking in. Always staying engaged in conversations on Facebook and everything else. Appreciate it, guys. We got a lot to talk about. Let's break it down. These are some of the things that we're going to try to get into. Some of them are going to take longer than others for obvious reasons, but here we go. So we have Antonio Brown, right? Told you things were going to start unfolding. We got about like 5 or 6 sides to the story now. It's a lot. So we're going to get more into that because more things have unfolded. I'm hearing rumors about the Washington football team and their new nickname. Stay tuned. I might be revealing it. Also, guys, should players actually be the ones voting for MVP, Hall of Fame, or things like that? Or should there just be a separate entity altogether? Maybe some media people, maybe some players, kind of like a committee. And not just media people. What do you think? You think they should be responsible for voting? Yes or no? Those are things that I'm going to answer later on, but it can definitely be a conversation, guys. So definitely let me know your opinions, and I'll put it in the next episode, and we can keep talking about it, keep the conversation going, because I don't feel like that's just one thing we're just going to talk about and kind of drop. This is going to be an ongoing thing, because I feel like there are going to be changes being made, and you'll find out why. I believe Aaron Rodgers would agree with that. But also, what's going on with the Nets, right? Kyrie Irving's back. That's great. Everybody's happy. It was an away game. That's why he's able to be back. But going into the playoffs, when home court advantage is not exactly an advantage for the Nets, where does that leave you? Some people have some ideas of saying maybe they should purposely lose more games than, let's say, the Bucks. But we're going to get into that. I'll let you know what I think. But let's get into this Antonio Brown thing, because he did put out a statement letting everyone know his side. Let's be clear. That's what I would hope to be his truth, because some people even lie about their own truths. But okay, I'm going to say this. Antonio Brown has a history. Let's just put it out there. So when people are skeptical about certain things, when they do see him doing, you know, shirtless jumping jacks after leaving in the middle of a game, you know, I mean, it's okay for people to kind of say, what is this guy doing? You know, he's hurting the team. This is why they should have just not bothered with him in the first place. I think those are all valid, you know, opinions and concerns. But on the flip side to this, if a guy is genuinely hurt, can't go into the game because he is injured, not just feeling pain, because Bart Scott did a really good job on Get Up, kind of breaking down the difference between pain and injured, right? It sounds like a pretty simple explanation, but I guess for the general public, if you're not in the medical field or don't really understand the differences, some people play through pain, sure. But when you're injured, it inhibits your ability to play, especially at a high level. Because we're not just talking about, you know, jumping around. We're talking about Antonio Brown in particular being able to run routes, getting tackled, making blocks, making plays, different things like that that may cause even more damage than he already has. So I don't want people to get so far and so caught up on Antonio Brown's antics, where we're kind of setting a precedent where we're kind of saying players should just play regardless of the way they feel, and we shouldn't take their injuries seriously, because you get into like a really dangerous territory. So I feel like we do need to take pause and be careful about where we're going with this. And Antonio Brown, in his statement, very lengthy statement, did say that he said a couple things, but a couple things that stick out to me was when he mentioned a shot, a very dangerous shot, a shot that would allow him to play even though he was injured. I mean, obviously, he's still going to be limited, and I guess the problem with that is, if we're using common sense, that if we're using a shot, let's say Toradol, for example, yes, it will allow you to play to an extent, but then when everything's all said and done, you won't know the extent of your injuries without further testing, obviously, because you've numbed that pain. Pain is what allows us to feel, okay, something may be wrong. You know, let's look into it further. And then if you're just physically not able to push it to that next level like you're used to being able to do, like guys at this level are able to do. So he did say he took a shot like that. He said it was a dangerous shot. From what I've researched, a lot of guys take this shot, especially we're heading into week 18 starting on Saturday. So I can only imagine if we did an anonymous poll of how many guys in the NFL currently right now are actually taking that shot before games. I mean, it would be interesting to see. He also mentioned that when his coach told him that he needed to play now or he would be cut, like on the sidelines, which is, I don't know how much that really goes on, because obviously there's only so much that the media and outside people of a team is really privy to. So, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that that doesn't happen often. You know, I'll say that. But he used the word triggered. So, okay. He felt like he was triggered because he was essentially being told, paraphrasing, of course, being told that, like, he's not allowed to be in pain. Like, he's not allowed to be injured and not allowed to look after his own body, knowing when he cannot go back into the game. You know, it ends up being a whole conversation versus trust the player, trust his, he knows his body best. If he's saying that he can't go, you know, we kind of just have to, you know, next man up mentality, you know. Hope that he could just get the right medical attention and kind of move forward. But everything just, it's so dicey because of his history, right? And then recently, I mean, not even 30 minutes ago, we're just receiving reports because Antonio Brown had put up text messages from Bruce Arians and himself, letting not only Bruce Arians know that he is injured and trying the best he can to make sure that he is in that game versus the Jets. I mean, he went as far as he had a picture taken. I mean, I'm not gonna go this far, but I'm gonna kind of go there just to let you know. It was of a foot, ankle, and a trainer, right? Whether it's a physical therapist, I don't know, because nothing was really specified about who it was. But he was receiving some sort of treatment, right? But I'm only, when I meant to say, like, I don't want to go there, but we couldn't see him. We just saw the ankle and the foot. We can only assume that, obviously, I mean, what he's trying to portray is that is him receiving treatment. I don't know. I feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians were trying to protect themselves. And Ravens, Antonio Brown was doing the same thing. Because usually, you know, if you follow athletes on Instagram or Facebook, wherever, sometimes they do take pictures, you know, while they're receiving treatment or while they're even in the weight room or just working out in general. Just to either boost their brand or to just let people know what they're up to, what they're doing, how serious they take their job, you know, or just showing pride in it, whatever. But I just thought that was interesting how he decided to put that out now after the fact. And he also went into his statement in detail about what hospital that he actually got an MRI from, which is a hospital of special surgery. It's obviously a very, you know, that's not just any old hospital, guys. If you're not familiar, look it up. I mean, this is one of the top hospitals in the country when it comes to sports medicine. Like, this is where you want to go. I believe it's Dr. Martin that he said he saw. And not only did he go into detail about what the MRI showed, bone fragments in his ankle. I mean, that just sounds like painful. You also have the torn ligament in his ankle. It just sounds bad. Bad business. Because if that's the case, it's like, this dude should have not have been out there at all. I mean, why was he even in uniform? You know, why was he, why did he even have his pads on? Why was he just in, you know, just warm-up clothes? You know, I don't even understand that. To me, that's IR right there. At best. But I get it. The team has been through a lot. Bruce Arians has been through a lot, you know, with the fake vaccination card. I agree. I mean, I honestly thought he was going to be suspended for the rest of the year, you know, and then maybe eventually cut because he's not available to play this season, which was kind of the whole point of why Tom Brady invited you over anyway, you know, even invited you over to his house, which is a whole other thing. But, you know, it's just like, I get it. This is not an easy thing for people to, because I know people are very judgy, right? They're very, okay, he's doing shirtless jumping jacks, get him out of here, inexcusable. And to some extent, I do agree. Like, did he have to leave like that? Absolutely not. You know, but I'm not going to pretend that everybody acts exactly the way they're supposed to all the time, even in work situations. I get he's in the public eye, but I mean, I feel like sometimes we definitely put too much pressure on these athletes to behave a certain way, more so than we do our politicians, for instance. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm not going to give them that much credit. I'm looking at them. They are role models, sure, right? But they are athletes. They're entertainers. They live a different sort of life. By no means is it something to necessarily be modeled after when you look at a lot of the guy's history. Or even when you just look at, in general, the NFL and how they conduct their business and how they're able to turn a blind eye when it comes to a lot of things. Because there is a lot of controversy surrounded by when things like this happen, like this Antonio Brown thing, like this is why this is like so controversial and people are on one side and either people are with Antonio Brown, not many, but there are people with him. And then there's people that's like totally against him, you know, but I think that there is a happy medium somewhere in there. Because we have to also remember that we are giving this dude a lot of attention and we know no matter what, if we can't agree on anything, we understand that this dude likes the attention. Like, he loves this. I mean, the fact that I've already spent at least a good 10-15 minutes talking about this already, he loves this. And he's all over the news waves. Like, it's not just me, it's everybody else. And it's something that, unfortunately, we do have to talk about. I just want to be careful about how we take this, because was he wrong? Yes. If the NFL decided not to treat him, not to suspend him for the rest of the season with the fixed vax card, I mean, then we have to just kind of roll with it. I mean, they decided not to do much besides the 3 games. He served the 3 games. and you got to move on, right? At some point, you have to say, okay, I didn't necessarily agree with the punishment, but he did receive some sort of punishment. And you got to move on. Because that's what they decided to do. They could have let him go. Bruce Arians could have just said, he did, I mean, he kind of already said it, right? He said, if this guy steps one toe out of line, that's it. And then, well, that's not only just one toe. I mean, that was like all 10. I mean, you know, that was a federal case, you know, like that was a big deal, you know, for a lot of different reasons. But at the end of the day, it's a mess. Do I think Antonio Brown will be on another team? I do think so. I do. The NFL, to me, has not shown that they have a moral compass when it comes to any of these things. I'm sorry. And when you look at everything that he's either been accused of doing or has done, this isn't even the worst, guys. This isn't even the worst. Some people can say that it is because he actually quit on his team. But we don't actually even know that. I want to actually, like, you know what's funny to me about the media in general? There's probably like over 30 cameras, not to mention the crowd, how many cell phones or cameras and pictures and whatever they must have, audio, to kind of see what the heck was going on that sideline for real, for real. Was he really cut before he decided to do those shirtless jumping jacks? Like, I need to know that. That's a very, very important detail. Does it excuse the jumping jacks and the, you know, in the way he did? No, it does not. It does not. But I'm a realist, though, and I am here to say that I know if a lot of you could quit your job right now, the way you want to quit your job, And a lot of what's stopping you guys from doing that, actually, is because you have families, right? If you lose that, like, you're pretty much done. Antonio Brown is not done after this, I promise you. He still has a lot more money, and he still has that name that will continue to make him a lot of money, as long as he obviously manages the right way and all that. But you get where I'm going with this. So I just want to kind of just stop. Everybody likes to be high and mighty, but it's like, stop. I'm not saying I would do it, but come on. I know what's up. I know what goes on. If some people could quit their job the way they really wanted to, especially if they fired you, think about it. If they cut you in the middle of your job, think about whatever it is that is important to your job and you're in the middle of doing it. And you're saying that whether you're sick or you can't go or whatever the situation. And they fire you right there on the spot in front of everybody. You might be a little triggered to do something that may be outside of your character that you may have to end up apologizing for. And you know what? Your situation is very different because you won't have to apologize to the whole world either. You'll only just be apologizing to maybe your family or, you know, or if you want to get that job back or whatever the case is. You know, but that's what I do want is I just want to kind of tone down, you know, the judgment. Because at the end of the day, you're still going to watch the NFL. You're going to watch people that make some pretty peculiar decisions, you know, decisions that you may not agree with when it comes to your moral compass, but you're still going to keep watching. You're still going to, you know, so come on. Antonio Brown should not have reacted the way he did. We know that, but we also don't know what triggered him to do that. Yes, we have Antonio Brown side of it, but we don't have the actual truth of what transpired on those sidelines to make him do that. There is a cause and effect. There is. But one thing I want to say also to Antonio Brown, if he's ever going to listen, or anyone else, you have to be held accountable for your actions. That's one thing I need people to understand. You're going to do what you do. You're going to have a reason for why you did what you did. But be accountable. That's it. Be accountable. You can blame it on, oh, I took a painkiller, I was injured, I was this, I was that. But by the way you conducted yourself is what led to all of this. You can't keep doing Antonio Brown things, you know, and then expect people to kind of be on your side. Which kind of sucks. Because if this is true, I want to be on his side. Because if he was playing like that, guys, that's just not right. That's not right at all. But this is also a perfect segue into the Aaron Rodgers situation, right? We have a reporter. I'm not going to say his name. We don't need to make him popular. But he pretty much called out Aaron Rodgers and said, well, first he identified the fact that he does have a vote in the MVP conversation. I don't know if he has Hall of Fame votes, but he does have an MVP vote in the NFL. And he pretty much said that he was not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers because he's a big jerk, or the biggest jerk in the NFL. That's kind of hard to do, but okay. He's the biggest jerk in the NFL, according to this reporter. And that, I like to keep my episode clean, and so I'm gonna choose to continue to do so. But I think that's such crap, guys. And it's not because I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side at all. Because if you've been listening, you should know where I stand. And if you don't, I'll make it very clear at the end of this. This is his legacy we're talking about here. Is it very hard to compartmentalize things at times? At times? Yes, it is hard at times. That's the hardest thing in the world, to separate the person from the athlete. It can be. It can be. But this is why this topic is going to come up, about whether players should be included in the voting process. I'm not talking about current players. I'm talking about respected players throughout their career that are no longer playing. Should they have a vote? Should they be, or they should they be at least included in the process somehow? I mean, I'm not going to, you know, make it up for them, but I do believe that, though. It's simple. Do guys make bad decisions all the time? I mean, everybody does, right? I do. Not, maybe not to the extent of some people, right? To the point where we have to judge their character and all this. But my point is, these awards are strictly what they do on the field. And this even goes back to the whole Terrell Owens thing. And that was even more unfortunate because this man never even did anything off the field to create, you know, and I get it, personality conflicts and locker room stuff and, but if we're talking about numbers on the field stuff, that's ridiculous. Like, there should have been no, like, discrepancies. Like, Terrell Owens, he's even talking about trying to get back into the NFL right now and to the Buccaneers, which is remarkable. But it's only a testament to his commitment to his, not only health, but just for his love of the game. Because I don't understand how you can be in that good a shape in order to be able to re-enter the NFL at this point, you know, in his life. But like I said, like, the dude's a freaking major. Good for him, right? Point is, you as a reporter, right, you have a job. You actually have one job. I get a lot of you want to be entertaining, you know, you want to do things a little bit outside the box to be unique, to be different, make a name for yourself. I get it. Athletes do the same thing. They're told that, right? They have publicists. They tell them, hey, you want to have a brand, you want to figure out a way to make money even when you don't have the ability to play anymore or whatever the case may be. here it is. This is the formula. But as a reporter, to call out a player like Aaron Rodgers to the point where you're not going to give him MVP honors because of what, or because of what you think of him, not even because of what he is, because let's be honest, do we know Aaron Rodgers personally? No. They only put out there what they want you to know. And does it always come off all that great? No. I think a lot of reporters are resentful for the fact that they do spend a lot of time around them. They ask them questions, a lot of times annoying, and I guess they are somewhat resentful that athletes won't let them in. And it's silly because it's like, why would they let them in? Because these guys are a part of a team. They're only accountable to each other and their coach and their fans. They're not accountable to the media. The media's one job, like I was saying earlier, is to be unbiased. Take your personal feelings or whatever out of the equation altogether. It has no place. It has nothing to do with anything that they're doing on the field. And like I said, if you've been watching Aaron Rodgers play, if you look at his numbers, they all point to MVP. No doubt. Players do care about legacy. I think we all should, but players especially. They've been thinking about it since Pee Wee. They've put in the work. They should be rewarded for it. Now, am I saying that he's going to get the Walter Payton Award? Probably not. Probably not. You know, but when reporters say things like that, you know, it just adds more controversy to the subject. Because am I saying that the reporter pretty much made Aaron Rodgers to say the MVP reward is now being changed to the most valuable vaccinated player award? You know, you see that? That's where it just gets, like, it gets out of hand. Like, why are we even bringing that up? What is that? That has no place. It has no place. I don't understand. It just brings it to a very weird spot. And I don't even know if that's what the reporter meant. And now I feel like it's going to be a back and forth thing, because now I'm sure the reporter is going to feel the need to clear that up, to figure out, you know, whether that's what he really meant or if that's not what he meant, and then go on further. And then Aaron Rodgers will either be on, you know, the Pat McCaffrey show and then want to sit there and go back. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just annoying. At this point, when it comes to your status, whether vaccinated, unvaccinated, just follow the protocols. Whatever side you sit on, follow the protocols that are set forth. It's not right to keep going back and forth with this sort of thing. It just gets ridiculous. Nobody's going to agree. Everybody's pretty much said what they're going to say. They're going to believe whatever they're going to believe at this stage. And I mean, we're 2 years in, guys. 2 years in. At this point, come on. Just follow the protocols as they should be, whatever side of the fence you sit on. And then don't bring it into topics like this. You know, because for Aaron Rodgers to say that, it's because then it just goes back to, well, Aaron, do you know who this reporter is personally? Do you know his vaccinated status for you to be able to say that? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, why is that even important? It just seems like that's more on your mind than anything else. It's just unbelievable. It's just like, if I had the vote, I'm looking strictly at numbers, what I've seen on the field. Aaron Rodgers is my MVP. I would like him to stop talking sometimes when it just comes to this type of things. Don't, if you're claiming to be a free thinker, thinking above, rise above, you don't want to keep, didn't do that. You didn't even need to go there. You should have just said, kept it at, listen, My numbers, everything speaks for itself. It's up for you guys to decide. I have no part in it. And that's it. Like, just, because now it just sounds like you're on a crusade as well to even bring it up. Because I read it and I didn't see anything about it besides the fact that you lied about it. Because I don't feel like he ever takes full ownership of it. You have to just take ownership of the fact that you lied about it. And actually give a guy like Kyrie Irving more props for the fact that he did not lie about it. He did not have a improper, you know, vaccination card or illegal or whatever, or fake. He said straight up, this is my beliefs. This is what I'm doing. These are the rules. These are the consequences for those decisions. Here we go. You got to think about that stuff. But with Kyrie now, he's back. He put up like 22 points. The man looked like he never even missed a beat. I mean, it looked like he was just playing the other day. His flow, his chemistry with the team, that also shows you how tight that they must be. Even though that he can't be with them, with the team at the time when he was on hiatus or whatever you want to call it, you know, because of the rules and different things like that. He obviously stood in touch with them, you know, went over the schemes, probably the plays. He did say that he was going to different gyms and staying in shape. But, I mean, like, his conditioning is just remarkable. I mean, but that is a testament to him not only, you know, staying with his craft, no matter what his personal decisions were. I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, his game is just remarkable. That's another thing. It speaks for itself. I mean, the person, you may have your opinions, but at the end of the day, when we're just strictly talking about sports and his play on the court, it was just remarkable. I mean, the flow of the game changed. Everybody else just looked comfortable. James Harden looked comfortable. You know, I mean, he said the same thing. Like, it's like, when you're not forced to do things that you don't ordinarily do, you know, you can just let your game just exude and just let it be. And even Kevin Durant as well. These guys are not playing outside of their game. They're just letting the game come to them. They have another guy that can put up 20 or plus points, not only distribute the ball, all the attention is constantly going to be on Kyrie, which breaks down the defense, right? Because everybody just, whenever Kyrie just goes in, defense collapses, and you kick out. I mean, it's beautiful to watch, truly. I mean, I think Kevin Durant summed it up nicely. I mean, it's beautiful basketball. That's what it is. That's why a guy like Kyrie Irving matters so much. And I know a lot of people have their opinions on whether the Nets bended the rules for this guy. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're still following protocol, right? Because he can't play in home games. And like I had said at the top of the show, you see why that's a problem. There is no home court advantage for the Nets. As the rules are in New York right now, as it's presently presented, there's no home court advantage because one of your stars will not be there. That's just the reality. And I've heard some people saying that, you know, they really have to make sure that they don't win some games, and I get the logic in it, but it's just not smart. And there's nothing that is guaranteed at this point of a win. Especially when you have to constantly keep changing the lineup. Like, I don't envy, you know, Steve Nash right now. Because, I mean, yeah, it's a great tool at your arsenal, right? I mean, you have a guy like Kyrie Irving. You also get to rest him, right? You don't really have to worry about, you know, sitting guys out when it gets towards the playoffs. You know, I mean, he's already going to have built-in rest. So I get that. I mean, I think I would want that more for Kevin Durant at this point. But My point is, you're not really going to have any form of consistency. And yeah, you can try to lose more games than the Bucks, which still just sounds, look, it doesn't sit right with me, but I hear a lot of people saying it, so I thought I would address it. But with the COVID protocols and guys in and out of the lineup anyway, there, you never know what's going to happen. So I don't even know if that's even really a viable option. You try to win the games you can win. There's times when, you know, there's three or more guys out, coaches out. And then you have to rely on your assistant coaches to, you know, just come up with a scheme. I'm sure they already have these things planned out, but still, I'm talking about like the in-game schemes. You know, the things that you weren't expecting to happen. Like when you guys saw Alvin Gentry went off the other day about that rule that he wasn't even aware of. I don't think I was even aware of that. I think that was the first time I was actually even watching that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, like, just look it up. I mean, I've seen Alvin Gentry mad, but that was, I mean, he was big mad. I mean, it was actually pretty funny, though. But I get why he was mad, though. I would have been mad, too, because that ultimately did cost them the game against the Lakers. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, do the Nets still have a problem? Even though that they're kind of just happy that Kyrie's back and he still hasn't said what he planned on doing, whether he was going to take the shot and then, you know, be able to play every game with his team, but he never said that he wasn't going to. He's just taking it day by day. So that's something that the Nets need to be mindful of, and the rest of the league for that matter. You know, because you definitely want to take advantage of that situation and play out different scenarios. Like if you are the Bucks, knowing that you're going to go to a 7-game series. Think about it. If you're a team like the Bucks, or it could be the 76ers, any team in the East, do you really want home court advantage? Would that really be an advantage for you? If you know that if you have home court advantage, that means Kyrie Irving gets to play in that game, 7-game series? Especially if it is game 7, you're going to have Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving. I don't know if you want that. Because all them guys have been in those situations before. Two of which have won championships. One of which have hit a clutch shot to win it for Cleveland. I don't know if you want to put yourself in that position. So that's why this is going to be even more so interesting, because everybody knows the Nets at full strength, number one. I mean, they're sitting at the number one seed now anyway. Even with all the talk and with all the speculation about how they're going to be doing, they were sitting at the number one seed without Kyrie Irving. Think about that. So to have all three of them, let's say the Bucks, home court advantage. Kyrie Irving is going to be playing in 4 of those games. You know? Those are things that they have to think about. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. The Nets definitely have the advantage, obviously. But they still need to be very strategic the way they handle things, because you want to make sure that you have Kyrie Irving in those crucial situations. Game 7s in particular. Because with your team playing at full strength, I mean, no way. Not going to happen. Nobody's going to beat them. Not in the East. I don't see it. I can see guys, you know, giving them a hard time, sure. But you have to win 4 games against the Nets. That's going to be very difficult if Kyrie Irving gets to play in those 4 games. But yeah, you know, it's just something to think about. But just to get back a little bit more about whether players should be incorporated in the voting process for MVP, Hall of Famer awards, I don't think so. And whoever that writer is, well, I'm not going to act like I don't know who he is. I know who he is. I just don't want to give him attention. Any more attention than he already has. He's just the guy that called out Aaron Rodgers, called him the biggest jerk in the NFL. But I just wanted y'all to know, I don't think that this guy should have any voting privileges, period. I think by him bringing attention to that and calling everything out, you're pretty much saying that you do, as a writer, which is supposed to be your job to be ethical and to be unbiased and be able to make decisions based off of what you see, based off of the numbers. And you literally just told the world that you do not have the ability to do any of those things, and you're just being unethical. And I don't even know if you want to even go back to how many times he was unethical. You know, a lot of things should be called into question. These guys work really hard on the field or on the court, and for guys to just develop whatever opinion that they have of them based off of off the court, off the field things, I think is ridiculous. It shouldn't happen. You know, players do care about their legacy, like I had mentioned earlier. I mean, they've been building it for so long, and they've had to do things like take Toradol shots and, you know, listen to these coaches probably tell them to play injured or, they make these decisions because they think about their legacy. Everybody just wants to say about the money. It's not just about the money, guys. They just want to feel like their money is set no matter what happens. Because if you notice, a lot of times, once their money is set, then it's like, okay, they can just go out and play with a clear head. Am I going to sit there and say that some guys don't just take off after a play day? I mean, I'm not naive, guys. I understand that. That's what some people do. But to get to this level, there also takes a lot of resiliency, a lot of patience and practice time and passion and hard work. There's a lot that goes into it. So you can't just trivialize everything and just make it seem like, oh, these guys don't work that hard. They get paid all this money. I mean, that just sounds like envy to me. But if you're just strictly looking at the hard work and everything that these guys go through day in, day out, really grinding, trying to do everything that they can, you know, to ultimately, you know, either prove to themselves, prove to the world, you know, what they have become. Against all odds, mind you, because not everybody went to, you know, a top school, or not everybody was heavily recruited. A lot of this was just through hard work. You know, some guys were just walk-ons, you know, in college and made something of themselves, made a name, made a brand of themselves. And it turned out to be great for them, you know, in comparison to other guys. So, yeah, players definitely should be on the committee, not just players. We're talking coaches, GMs. Sure, they all should have a vote. I don't even know if they should have a vote. I just think they should be in the process. However they want to, you know, formulate that process, obviously it's up to them. But just to have a writer that, oh, this guy didn't want to take an interview from me, so I'm going to feel some type of way and not vote for him for MVP, even though he deserves it. Or I don't believe what he, like, his values align with mine, so I'm not going to, like, that gets into a really weird situation. And that's why guys don't want to speak up about the way they feel about certain things that happen in this world, because they know guys like that are going to hold it against him. And he just admitted it. And it's not even, you know what I mean? The reporter admitted it. It's not even like you have to question anymore. Like, I wonder if these writers are really, really, you know, doing their job ethically. And actually just saying, nope, these are the facts, this is what I'm going by, and here's my vote. He just admitted that's not always the case. That's worrisome if I'm a player, you know. And then that might make you really want to not come out and say the things that you really want to say when it comes to, I don't know, social injustice, when it comes to, you know, vaccination status, or even global warming. Like, there's just certain things you just don't want to talk about, and I get it, because it might be held against you. That's kind of crazy to think about, you know. But I'll leave it to you guys to think about. You let me know. Okay, guys, we're just about winding down to the end of the episode. I told you guys I was going to reveal the Washington football team's nickname. Now, this is not confirmed. This is just what I'm hearing. I'm reading through a lot of articles and everything, but I did hear that they might be called the Washington Admirals. Now, there was talk about them being the Washington Red Wolves. There was talk about that. But then I heard that they had to shut that down because there was other trademarking issues and things of that nature that were already being held by other teams. So the Washington Admirals is what I heard. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong because it happens. But I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm pretty sure. But I know that they wanted to pick a name that captured, you know, family, community, which also their history, right? Going back to Gibbs. So there's like a lot of things that they wanted to include, especially in the uniforms. I heard the uniforms are fire, though. So if you're a Washington football team, I think you'll be very happy. The names that they put forth earlier, I wasn't really impressed with. I was like, oh, God, I really hope that they don't do that. But we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. like I said, thanks for listening, guys. You guys have been great. My supporters from day one. I got something for y'all. Just inbox me real quick. You know, it could just be a simple hey, you know, and I'll try to get your information. And I still have more giveaways and different things to do. But it's been fun, guys. I'll see y'all later. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.